بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد الحمد لله الذي هدانا للإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ما بعد It is the kindness of Allah Tabaraka Taala upon us that in every era Allah Tabaraka Taala's nazar of protection when it falls it allows a certain group of people whether it's men, whether it's women, whether it's children to come under a certain atmosphere of protection because of which they see the world different from what people out of that atmosphere see it. They behave different from what others behave. They are blessed with children, they are blessed with families, friends, who are different from what the world around is. Those that come under the atmosphere of the protection of Islam, they will never understand why people do kufr, why people do shirk. And it will look so far-fetched and absurd for them. And those that are out of that atmosphere of protection, when they look in, they cannot understand how can someone be in Islam. They cannot understand why someone has not chosen atheism, Satanism. From outside, inside doesn't look right. From inside, outside doesn't look right. When that protection, that nazar of protection of Allah Tabaraka Taala falls even harder, more stronger, then suddenly piety comes into that family. Such piety that when they look outside, they cannot understand how someone can live a life so far from Almighty Allah. And the one who is outside that protection, that atmosphere, he can never understand how the people inside everything can be so pious. When that protection atmosphere falls on children, you will see a group of children growing up. Their fathers, grandfathers might not have been of the best of families. But they are so good, they are so well-mannered, they are such stars in the community, that even parents who look at them wonder, how did they become made in this era? And then from outside, when other boys are looking at them, they say, impossible. But what a life they're living. Something not good. They are not enjoying like how we are enjoying. So this whole bayan that will be given is on this. That how to make sure that we start begging Almighty Allah to allow us to go into the atmosphere of protection. And that Allah Tabaraka Taala never push us out of that atmosphere. In the world, a lot of things will be said, how to have good children, how to be a good parent. But it will always be what you must do. And even in that day, you must spend time with your children. You must send them to a certain place. You must keep them at home. And then the child is told how he must behave with his parents. A husband is told what he must do. The wife is told what she must do. And everyone, even if they do their part, but if Almighty Allah has not allowed that individual to enter into his atmosphere of protection, then no matter how much gets done, the son of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, where everybody else is allowed to come onto the ship, when an open da'wat is given, why don't you come onto the ship? He doesn't want to. When a person is not allowed into that atmosphere, in the family of an alim, you can get a kafir. And in a family of a kafir, Ibrahim alayhi salam will now grow up as the son of Azar. With the entire environment supposed to be that you evil, but he was pulled into that atmosphere of Almighty Allah's protection and everything happened. So whichever era that we live in, whether we call it the era of technology or any other era, in every era the most important thing was that are you in the atmosphere of Almighty Allah's protection or are you out? Is my child in? Is my child out? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke a lot of the end of times. And he explained to the ummah that things will happen later on in life which will be amazing for every era. It will be something that was never seen or comprehended, ever imagined from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. But it will happen. Among the narrations that come, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تقوم الساعة. The hour will not come until you will find in the world al-mataru qaydan, that you will find rain which is actually made out of fire. When you will see rain which is like a fireball, the first time this was seen in the world was 1945, what was called World War, when the atomic bomb was dropped. One was dropped on Hiroshima, then about 3 days later on a place called Nagasaki. These were two atomic bombs that as it hit, it created a huge cloud like rain was falling. And with that rain and with that bomb, then in the first maybe about 100,000 would pass away, and in the second about 80,000. That number of 180,000 for the world was a shock. That picture would be put in every newspaper. That scene and in what's in the mind, everyone knows World War, everyone knows Japan, everyone knows the atomic bomb. But when that rain that was falling was nothing but fire, it was also an indication that that word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has now taken place for the first time in history. That the hour will not be established until you will see rain, but it will not be rain, it will be a burning blaze of fire. With the coming of World War I and World War II, it started the era of technology. It was that rain that started it all. After World War, the entire world changed. And the era of technology began moving so fast. So the narration would speak about after that what would happen in the world. وَيَفِيضُ الْلِعَامُ فَيْضًا وَيَغِيضُ الْكِرَامُ غَيْضًا. The results of that rain will be such that the errors that will follow after 1945 till what we find ourselves today is what the narration will now speak. He said, then you will see in the world that people who got no feeling, people who are hard-hearted, la'im means badbakht. Badbakht means a man who got no fortune, a man who got no feeling for anybody else. He says, they will become the majority. وَيَغِيظُ الْكِرَامُ غَيْظًا. And a man who got nobility. Nobility means that you can't see somebody else suffer. When a woman goes for a proposal, normally it is told you don't look for an alim. You don't also look for a person who people say he's a very good man with us. He's always talking, he's very friendly. The normal what you look for is someone who got nobility. Because it is the quality of nobility that doesn't allow a man to smack his wife in the face. It is the quality of nobility that will not allow a man to cheat on his wife. Because of nobility, there will be no physical abuse. There will be no mental abuse. But the narration was going to make it clear that nobility amongst men will become close to zero. وَيَغِيظُ الْكِرَامُ غَيْظًا. غَاضَ means وَغَاضَ الْمَا. After the floods of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah tabarak ta'ala said, oh, water disappear. وَيَغِيظُ الْكِرَامُ. When noble people will start disappearing from the earth. وَيَفِيضُ الْلِعَامُ فَيْضًا. And now it will be people who will be harsh and hard-hearted. Now a woman will write a letter, my husband got no feeling for me. For 20 years, yes, made me suffer. I never told my parents about it. But if that man is spoken to, for him, I did nothing wrong. Why? Because that quality of nobility after 1945 was going to start disappearing from the world. وَيَجْتَرِئُ الصَّغِيرُ عَلَى الْكَبِيرُ. After that rain, which will be a rain of fire, you will start seeing the entire world turning upside down. Now no longer it will be that the elder will be shouting the younger. He said, وَيَجْتَرِئُ الصَّغِيرُ عَلَى الْكَبِيرُ. Now the one who is younger in age, he will be coming bold in front of the elder. He will stand up and he say, you know who I am. I'll wipe out your whole family. It will be in the school and the child will say to the teacher, how dare you tell me anything. The entire world will change. A parent will be told, don't ever say anything to your child. When the youngster will become bold against the elder. وَاللَّئِيمُ عَلَى الْكَرِيمُ. And when a man is harsh and hard-hearted, badbakht, evil, and you will find him coming up to a scholar, to a sheikh, to a man of nobility, and telling him, get lost. Whether it's a mutawalli of a masjid, and he goes to the imam and he says, I'll fire you, and the Imam, a simple man, will look up and he got nowhere to go. When the people of evil will be talking to the people of good in a manner that we can do what we want with you, don't you dare tell us what to do. In that era, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned this final word, وَيَكُونُ الْوَلَدُ غَيْظًا. During that era, you will find your children غَيْظًا. There will be a cauldron of anger. They will be out of control. There will be someone, if you just say something to them, they will burst in anger. In the past, it could never be understood where a child will grab his mother and bring her to the ground. He could kick her on the sides. He say, don't you dare tell me what to do. But when the era of drugs was going to start, addiction, and the era of porn and addiction, and the era of violence on the television, and it was going to create a mental mind of a monster, then whether it was a daughter who was going to be that monster, or a son who was going to be the monster, وَيَكُونُ الْوَلَدُ غَيْظًا. The era will come where your child will be a monster of the time also. That the mother will be scared to say anything. He says, don't tell him, he'll just blow. He will disgrace you in front of everyone. When that war happened, and the world for the first time saw that rain, which was a rain of fire, then as the narration mentioned, you would see the entire worlds changing. So it had to happen. It was going to happen. And it was going to affect families and families. It wasn't going to be, this is the odd family out. That you saw that boy, what he did to his mother. Rather, it was going to become the norm in every family. At such a time, the worry and the concern was that how do I make sure this epidemic doesn't hit my family? The plague is out. When every family is getting caught with a certain sickness, that's the time that everyone's hands go up in dua. And they say, everyone is getting sick. When it is one of, someone got sick in one village, nobody makes dua. Because nobody else is getting sick. But when it was going to be something that was going to be hitting every house, no house was going to be free. In one house, the boy's temperament was changing. He was becoming a monster. Another boy was changing his clothing. He wanted to dress like a girl. Another boy was found in drugs. We went to one town. My friend said to me, this boy here, because of drugs, he has made the house of his mother like Jahannam. So the word of the mother that day really struck me. Where the mother said that, you people are speaking of the war in Syria. Forget the war in Syria, in my own house I got war. Meaning an everyday war. The boy comes back, he's wild, he's mad. And the poor mother has to live with it. She's disgraced in the community already. Everyone is telling her, your son, what and what is doing. But in the end of the day, she's a mother. She can't kick him out of the house also, she can't keep him in the house. She said, you're speaking of the war of Syria, I got my own war. When it becomes a plague, that every house it's entering, the house of ulama, the house of non-ulama, the house of sulaha, the house of non-sulaha, when the narration mentioned it's going to happen in a big manner. At that time, then normally hands supposed to go up, and we have to start making dua, that oh Allah, when the sickness is hitting every house, please don't let it hit my house. This is what is called when the nazar goes towards Almighty Allah. That will you allow me and my family to come in the atmosphere of your divine protection. Now when we are going to make dua and we are going to beg Almighty Allah, what dua must we make? So Allah Tabarak Tala in Quran explained in a very beautiful manner that when the era was an era of total darkness and it was evil all around, at that time there was a woman who was desirous of a child. So she had seen two babies playing with their chick. And it created, like how in every mother a desire is created, if only I can have a child. On that desire, Almighty Allah was going to make her fall pregnant. But when she fell pregnant, she was going to teach the world some lessons. And especially for that world who was going to see an era, that I don't know if this is the right time for my child to come in the world. Because Quran had made indication that that mother and father sometimes making so much dua and they even say, oh Allah, la'in atana, that if you give us a child, lanakunanna minash shakirin, we will thank you so much They just want a child. Everyone is getting children. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَا. And then we bless them with a child who has no defect. The child is born well. Now he comes home from the hospital. There is nothing wrong with the legs, nothing wrong with the hands. He says, on that child coming into that family, which is supposed to have created more goodness for the family, they gave the child a wonderful name, but the entering of the child in the family brought nothing into the family but shirk. جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَا. Allah Tabaruk Tala says, the child came in. They made so much dua for a child, but that child which came never came with any goodness at all. It came and it spoiled the mother and father also. So it is not every child that will bring you the coolness of your eyes. One child might bring his mother and father into kufr. Another child might create jahannam in the house. Drugs might enter, killing might enter, disgrace might enter, divorce might enter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at his grandchildren as they were running towards him. And he said, oh Allah, do not take my imtihan through my children. Because that is an imtihan. But when you see your child doing that thing which you can't lift your hand up in society, you yourself don't know what to do, you lost. The child is fighting with you, he's fighting with everybody else. It was dua that, oh Allah, do not take my imtihan through my children. So when that mother got the news that she is now pregnant, she was going to make a dua which was going to be a lesson to humanity. And most important to me and you, because the plague is everywhere. Allah Tabaruk Tala speaks of this woman. This was the mother of Maryam radiallahu anha, the grandmother of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time, how many du'as she could have thought of making? Normally everyone at that time makes the du'a that, oh Allah, let it be a healthy child. And the child comes out as healthy, but as the verse of Quran said, we gave a healthy child in the family, it brought nothing but shirk into the family. So we make du'a for a healthy child, and we should make that du'a also. And we make du'a for a prosperous child, we should make a du'a, a child that is healthy and wealthy and strong. But the one du'a that she was going to teach at that moment, while the child was still in the womb, there were still many months to go, it was such a du'a that Almighty Allah was going to mention her du'a in the Quran, in the words of the mother. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala explains her du'a, that إِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The child was still in the womb. The environment and time at that time was not our time. There was no drugs. She was a woman of Masjid al-Aqsa. She was seeing the people worshipping in the masjid. She was from a good family. She had never seen the plague of the era of technology. But at that time also she understood the importance of having that child protected from the clutches of shaitan. So she said, إِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That, oh Allah, I place this child and the progeny of this child in your protection. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained what a dua it was, that forget the major effects of shayateen, even that minute effect. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every child that is born, on the day that he is born, shaitan gives him one pinch. And on that pinch, فَيَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا, you will see that child will scream because of that pinch of shaitan. Shaitan saying to the child, I'm not going to leave you till the end. He says, but Maryam radiallahu anha and her son Nabi Isa alayhi salam, on account of the dua of the mother, even the pinch of shaitan wasn't allowed. The dua, the barakah of the dua was such that they would mention for the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Maryam, she was no Nabi, but she was a woman of such zuhud, such purity, such uniqueness. Kana la yusibani dhunub. With the rest of Banu is Adam, some would make major mistakes, some would make minor mistakes. She says, forget Nabi Isa alayhi salam, even the mother was on the level as though she was a Nabi. They would not make mistakes. Because that mother's dua at such a time had acquired such acceptance from Almighty Allah that it put them in a cave of divine protection. It is that isti'adha that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to teach his ummah. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained that the amount of times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, "Oh Allah, I seek your protection from shaitan." Me and you don't say it so much. The only time we normally da'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim is when we're reading Quran perhaps, because we were taught in madrasa read. Otherwise for me and you, shaitan is like one fiction. It's one story of the imagination. It's one spook. And that is all. So I am very worried about the gang lords, the drug lords. I am worried about porn. I am worried about the university and the school. I am worried about the environment and peer pressure. And all of that is evil, evil, evil. But what we will explain now is Almighty Allah in Quran made great indication that the prime of all of this evil, the king of all of this evil, that lobby behind all of this evil is nothing but a shaitani lobby. And it is that shaitani lobby that man has been told to lift up your hands and to say, "Oh Allah, if you do not protect me from falling into this trap, then nothing in the world will save me. My mother will not save me, my father. No sheikh will save me, no alim will save me. No madrasa will save me. So much of effort I will make, I'll keep them at home. One day, my child is allowed out of my sight." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La takilni ila nafsi tarfata'in." That, "Oh Allah, for a split second also, don't let me take charge of my own self. If for a split second also I have to look after myself, I will fall immediately." That mother will say, "I looked after him so well, and it was just that one holiday, I never wanted him to go. But so many years of effort, and he just went, he met the wrong clique, suddenly he was an alcoholic, suddenly he was an addict, suddenly he lost everything." What it was, that protection of Almighty Allah is the most important. How do we ask for the protection and what we ask for protection? So in Quran, first Allah Tabarak Ta'ala was going to explain that the shaitani lobby is a very evil lobby. And if you are pulled into the trap, they will take you very far from reality. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala in Quran mentions, "Ya Bani Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah." That don't let shaitan pull you in a trap. And never ever think that you are very intelligent and you won't fall. He says, remember, from paradise he was able to pull out your parents, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Hawa radiallahu anha. You are nothing strong for shaitan. Don't think that you are an alim or an alima, you are a hafiz or a hafidha. He could pull anyone out, he can pull you out. Yanzi'u anhuma libasahuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima. And when he wanted to pull them out, his entire effect, desire and mission was that not only to take them out, but that splendid clothing that they have been adorned with in Jannah, I want to pull out that clothing also. Nabi Adam alayhi salam, as soon as he made his error in paradise, the result of that error was the clothing of Jannah fell from his body. But in this verse there was an indication that the error will come where shaitan will make such an effect on man whose desire will be nothing but to remove the clothing from man and from woman. So if you feel you don't wear the niqab just because you don't want to, it is not because you don't want to, because shaitan managed to pull that part away from your face. If you feel the scarf, you're just feeling very hot with it, you like your hair to be loose in the community, it is not you felt it, it is shaitan wanted that scarf out of you. For people in the world who once upon a time wore trousers, and when shaitan pulled out the trouser, they look at other people in the world wondering, "How you wear this trouser? It's so hot in summer." But it was that a time in the world everyone had it on, and shaitan managed to make that one pull and he pulled it out. لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا. So that part of your body which supposed to have disgraced you if anyone else saw, suddenly you yourself will be happy that other people must see it. That shitna was going to come. Your daughter, your son, if they had to fall in the trap of shaitan, forget the daughter and son, it could be the mother and the father, it could be me and you, in that trap, and suddenly the unique clothing that I'm wearing today, tomorrow I'm not wearing it. Now I'm walking around with a skirt, I'm walking around with underpants, my shorts are becoming shorter, my clothing are becoming shorter, it is everything see-through. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw that group in Jahannam. It was a group of women who I have not yet seen today. He says it was that group of women who felt they were wearing clothing, but they were totally, totally naked. The clothing would get less and less and less. Their life would be that other people must see their body. Not because it was a thrill, but because they fell into a trap of shaitan. It could be me, it could be you. When that trap is grabbed, the mind goes lost. To make isti'adha, O Allah, let me not fall in that grasp of shaitan, that the beautiful clothing that I'm wearing today, tomorrow it leaves me or it leaves my progeny. Allah tabarak ta'ala said, Inna wa'adallahi haqqun, that the promises of Allah are so true. So you went to madrasa, you heard about Jannah and Jahannam. But thereafter, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. After you learnt of that promise, when you were 7 years, 8 years old, you used to also say, I believe in Jannah. I'm scared of Jahannam. Mummy will say, don't do this, you'll get in Jahannam. Immediately I'll get scared. But then when you went in the world, when you went to school, when you went to university, they were able to change the mind so much that now that very boy, that very girl doesn't really believe in Jahannam and Jannah anymore. Allah tabarak ta'ala said, the promise of Allah is true, but don't let it be that shaitan makes you start disbelieving that promise. That was going to happen. So how many boys went to university, how many girls, how many mothers and fathers had heard that the area of university is an area of total zina. So the mother was very worried. She said to the father, I want my son, my daughter to become someone in the world. But I don't want her to lose herself. So what we do, we will take her to the university. Her brother will take her. He'll stay with her. And as soon as the classes are finished, we'll pick her up and bring her. So it was a great thing the parents did. They looked after that girl so much. But the one place where they couldn't look after her was during the class. During the class, through the teacher, shaitan was going to create such an impact on her mind, on his mind, that the promise of Allah, which yesterday he believed in it like everything, today he doesn't believe in it anymore. They were going to pull out the belief on Allah, that later on that boy will write a message, that I want to tell my friends and family, that finally today I am happy, that I have pulled myself away from the clutches of religion. Religion would become for him an aib, an ar, a disgrace. To become atheist would be everything. To become Satanist. That shaitan is there outside waiting. When your child is born, you have to think, oh Allah, if he's grabbed in that clutch, his clothing will come out. If he's grabbed in that clutch, his iman can come out. His entire understanding of Allah in Jannah and Jahannam can come out. Allah tabarak ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhan nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. O people of iman, there is so much pure things to eat in the world. Wala tattabi'u shaytan. Wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. Let it not be now shaytan makes an indication and suddenly you start walking behind him. When you will start walking behind him, what you will fall in? Allah tabarak ta'ala says, Innama al-khamru wal-maysir. وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan will start inviting men now towards gambling. He will invite men towards drinking. He will invite men towards alcohol and towards drugs. That world of drugs that is outside, we are so worried of the drug lord. Above every drug lord, there is this final, the prime of all evil, which is called Shaitan. Allah tabarak ta'ala said, so much of halal, but if that child falls in the trap of shaitan, suddenly he is addicted to the liquor. He is addicted to the drug. He will even come and say, I was becoming an accountant. Because of accountancy, I needed to study many hours. I couldn't keep up with the workload. I needed to get that grade. I wanted to become a chartered accountant. More effort was needed. My one friend just said to me, that this is not a drug which is a bad drug. This is just that drug which will keep you awake the whole night. Suddenly that tiredness which was coming is not there. That sharp-mindedness you never had, now you are sharp. And that boy lives on that drug just to get the mark which his mother and father were making dua for so much. Suddenly the boy is a chartered accountant, that's how you see him. But when we see him, we see the accountant coming and saying, that from the time of my studies I'm addicted to this drug. Now I want out, but I can't come out. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. If you fall in the trap of shaitan, suddenly halal is not meant for you anymore. Now it's a life of evil, it's a life of porn, it's a life of addiction. It is not that your son, your daughter, me or you are bad. That person cries and he says, I want out. I don't want to cheat on my wife anymore, but I'm addicted. This is called caught in a grip. How to protect yourself from the grip? Again, the hand goes up to Almighty Allah. That, oh Allah, isti'adha u'idhuha bika wa dhurriyataha. That if I beg you to put my child and the progeny of my child in your divine protection. In that protection, everything starts happening. But out of that protection, everything collapses. Like that in different verses of the Quran, and the worst when you fall in the trap of shaitan is called irtidad. That in the house of a believer, recently someone sent out a stat that in the United States of America, it was seen how many people are leaving religion. So in the Christian faith, how many left? But then they wrote in the Muslim faith, that they wrote from every 100 people, 30 to 35 people will come out of Islam. 30 to 35, which is one third. But then somebody else added on that. Amazing it is, that when Muslims are leaving Islam in such huge numbers, non-Muslims are accepting Islam in even bigger numbers. And that is such an honor for us and such a fear also. Such an honor that the world is coming towards Islam. Such a fear that Islam is so independent. That don't just think that you born in a Muslim family, Islam is a divine inheritance. Islam chooses where it wants to be, it chooses when it wants to go also. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the time will come that the boy will be a believer at night and the next day it's gone. So fast irtidad. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ وَأَمْلَىٰ لَهُمْ. There will be those people who hidayat was so clear in front of them. So clear because they grew up in a house of knowledge. They grew up in a town of piety. They were ulama and sulaha. They were programs and programs. They also sat in the programs. Hidayat was as clear as anything for them. My child, I made her a hafiza of Quran. My son, I put him in the madrasa. Hidayat was as clear as anything. He said, but then he fell into a trap of shaitan. الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ. And then shaitan started making it look smart. وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. And started giving him hopes and thoughts. He wants to become a master this and a master that. He got this life to lead and he got that life to lead. And suddenly he sees the only barrier to his hopes is the barrier of Islam. اِرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ. So suddenly he takes that Islam and he throws it at his back. The worst that can happen to my child and your child is that shaitan pulls them into the trap of irtidad. All this into drugs itself is a qiyamah. Addiction is a qiyamah. Irtidad is the worst of all. The protection is that, oh Allah, will you take my child and put him in your divine protection? Now the question comes that what dua do I make? Do I say, A'udhu Billah? So Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to see him different times of the day and night. And he used to have different wording. And how many a time he would say, oh Allah, protect me from shaitan. He would have different sayghas, different wordings. But for me and you to memorize all of that wordings became very difficult. Sahaba radiallahu anhu say, then two surahs were revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yata'awwadhu min al-jan wa a'yunil ins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see protection from the jinnat and from the eye of man, which is called a nazar, an evil nazar, the nazar of jealousy, the nazar of anger. The nazar just of appreciation. Because that nazar itself pulls away divine protection. How? It is off, but it's part of the topic which will come just now. That let us never make the mistake that when we see or we hear of somebody else's child that became involved in some major problem, which is a disgrace to the entire family,
At that time, my nazar falls on my family. My nazar. My nazar means, I shake my head and I say, the problem is that mother, she's never at home. If she looked after her children, this would never have happened. Once the person said that statement, it meant that had it been me, that child would never have done this wrong. That me is that nazar. As soon as that me comes in, that I was the one who looked after my children. Because of that, they're not in drugs, they're not in alcohol, they're not in problems. Day and day, that nazar, not somebody else's nazar, your own nazar fell on your family. As soon as nazar falls, Almighty Allah's divine protection can lift up immediately. Which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تُظْهِرِ الشَّمَاتَةَ لِأَخِيكَ. That sometimes when you find your friend, your family, your brother, your sister, they're involved in such a calamity, then at that time don't ever say a word which shows that you're also happy about it. At that time you yourself shiver in fear that if it hit him, my house is next door, it can hit me. It's a plague. He says, at that time don't show an attitude. He says, because it's possible, فَيَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَبْتَلِيكَ. It is very possible Almighty Allah can then shower him with his mercy. And suddenly that family changes and he can put you in the same calamity. This is that nazar. Never ever look at my family and say, I'm okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, rather, he said, man fujahu sahibu balain. That sometimes when a man in a major problem just comes in front of you, comes in front of you means you get the news and it shocks you. I never thought it will happen in that family. So you get shocked. When you get shocked by a person who's involved in a major calamity, at that moment don't ever say, how could he do it? At that moment immediately shiver and say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani mimma ibtalaka bihi or ibtalahu bihi. That, O Allah, I thank you for saving me from what he has fallen into. Let your eye never fall on yourself. It is called nazar. Let it always remain on the Zat of Allah. He says, immediately say, O Allah, I thank you that you saved me. And in today's time, how many times we have to make? As WhatsApps goes out, messages go out, news is put in front. Every day you hear of a new family who fell into some trap of shaitan. Every day you can make the dua that, O Allah, I thank you, you have saved my family. My husband hasn't been caught with another woman. I haven't been caught. Our izzat has been looked after. My daughter is not in some problem. My son is not. Not because you're doing everything right. Because at the moment you're still in that divine protection. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will make this dua? Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani mimma ibtalaka bihi wa ibtalahu bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. The dua is long. But dua can be made even with mind, without a tongue. At that moment, just shiver and say, Oh Allah, I thank you, you saved me, please continue saving me. He said, at that moment, if you make shukr of Allah, أُوْفِيَ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ الْبَلَىٰ كَائِنًا مَا كَانَ. He says, inshallah, Allah will keep him protected from that calamity forever and ever. He says, inshallah, in it, Almighty Allah does as He wishes, but that's the most we can do. When you see someone in calamity, immediately say, Oh Allah, I thank you, you never put me in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make isti'adha. He would seek Almighty Allah's protection, min al-jan, from the jinn, wa aynil insan, and from being knocked with the eye. Your own eye and from the eyes of others. Nobody else must look at you and say, hey, what a wonderful person you are. Hey, your children are so good. Normally the mother gets so happy, she smiles. Not like that other children. Your children are good. Suddenly the eye fell there and they say, Oh Allah, protect me from the harm of the eye. Because if that eye hits my children and your divine protection lifts, then who today was the best girl in school, suddenly tomorrow is kicked out of the school. Things change so fast. You would see protection from the jinn and from the eye of man. They say, فَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ الْمُعَوَّذَتَانِ. But then two unique surahs were revealed. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. That made life easy for me and it made life easy for you. We do not remember all those long du'as. But these two surahs, there's not an individual who doesn't know. When these two surahs were revealed, أَخَذَهُمَا وَتَرَكَ مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed onto these two surahs. And now he left all the others. It was going to tell his ummah, this is more than enough for you. He would explain about the surahs. أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِأَفْضَلْ مَا تَعَوَّذَ بِهِ الْمُتَعَوِّذُونَ Should I not inform you of the greatest and the most best? If you want to ask protection from problems, then the best that you can use is قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ He said, هُمَا الْمُعَوَّذَتَانِ These are the two that will put you in Allah's divine protection. He said to a sahabi radiallahu anh, you can never read a surah more beloved to Allah. وَلَا أَبْلَغَ أَبْلَغَ means, and more complete in giving whatever you need than surah قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ He said, if you can, let there not be even a salah, except that in that one salah you read the surah. Minimum once a day you read it. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha taught the ummah the method that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hold on to these two surahs. One is in salah during the day, any salah you can read it. And your intention is for your protection and your wife, husband and your children's protection. Your family's protection. When the wife, the mother of Maryam radiallahu anha made dua, she said, O Allah, for my child and the child of the child. And the result hit on Nabi Isa alayhi salam, who was the grandchild. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the day if he read or never, but at night he would ensure. Before sleeping, Aisha radiallahu anha says, he had to. He would lift up his hands, this is like dua. You lift up your hands and in his hands he would start reading, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Those two dua surahs itself is al-mu'awwadatan. If a man includes to it, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ All the better, even better. He would read in his hands these two or the three surahs. And after reading it, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Then he would blow in his hands. When you blow and a slight wetness would also be felt in the hand. Meaning that slight saliva which had the chance of Allah's name being taken, slight amount of that saliva touched the hand. Thereafter that hand would be taken and he would rub it on the face. And thereafter, wherever the hands could reach on the front of the body, and thereafter, wherever the hand could reach on the back of the body. It would be a hard rub. She says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this three times. Because of which, one of two ways. Either you read the two surahs, you blow and you rub, and then you read, you blow and you rub, you read and you blow and you rub. Or you read the two surahs three times, then you blow and then you rub. Whichever way, you're going to get three times the two surahs. If you add قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ to it, even better. What is the meaning of the surah? Why it was mentioned? أَبْلَغْ It is the most complete in fulfilling what you need. You need Allah's divine protection. Forget for your children. I need it, you need it. Maybe the program was made how to look after the progeny and the children of the era. We are living in the time where even the parents are corrupted. Where the wife is saying, what my child, my husband is mad. The husband is saying, my wife is doing it. At that time, everyone needs divine protection. I need it, my child needs it, my parents need it. Qul. The command was given, say. So me and you say, Qul. We also say, oh Allah, you ordered us to say, we're saying it. Qul. The command is say. And what a unique, that other du'as don't have it as say, Qul. But this du'a got it. Ulama mentioned when Allah tabarak ta'ala wanted Adam alayhi salam's tawbah to be accepted. Then Allah tabarak ta'ala gave him the words to use. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِن رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ He was blessed with the words. Then when he repeated the words, obviously it was accepted. Because I gave you the words. Here it was told, here's the words, now say it. Me and you have to start saying it. أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ That, oh Allah, you are the Rabb of Al-Falaq. Different meanings of Al-Falaq, we will only give one. Falaq means when it is dark, and there is no hope of light. The sky, you can't see a single star, everything is dark. But everyone knows that my Allah is the one who will bring the morning out of the darkness. So when morning cuts through the darkness, no one is even shocked that an entire sky of darkness, how did the light come in? Say, oh Allah, you are the one who every morning cuts the entire world of darkness and you bring light into it. I am living in an era of total darkness. I am surrounded by the stories of drugs and the stories of porn. In the past it was out of my house, now the computer has come in my house. It has entered into the pockets of my children. I try how much I want to, but I can't stop them completely. And then when they come slightly bigger, they're out of the house. Now they got their own house. Where they go at nights, everything is dark. The school is dark, university is dark, magazines are dark, papers are dark. In a world of darkness, O Allah, my eye only falls on that being who every morning cuts through the darkness and light comes out. I ask you that you bring that light in my family. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. You are the Rabb of the breaking dawn. For you to bring light into my family in the era of darkness, O Allah, how can it be hard? مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. From the evils of whatever has been created. That word ma was so general, so general. The evil of the computer, the evil of the cell phone, the evil of technology, the evil of universities and schools, the evils of magazines, the evils of things we don't even know. Every day a new evil is created in labs. Every day a new drug is created. Every day a new medicine is created. In everything there could be goodness, there could be a lot of harm. مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. O Allah, from the evil of whatever has been created. It's like a pyramid of evil that we are looking at. And at the bottom of this pyramid is all this evil. So I put it all under that. And as that pyramid goes up, it becomes smaller and smaller. That higher than all that evil, there are groups now that are even more evil than the one under. Worse they are. They are lords. They are shaitani ambassadors. They are pulling my child into a club. They have invited him into Freemasonry and Illuminati. And it's happening in the schools. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. So I also will now start hitting it more closer. Oh Allah, I ask you protection from the evil of whatever was created. And now I will say especially. Especially from the evil, مِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ. From the evil of darkness when it envelopes. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu gave one explanation, but there are many. One explanation is my husband, my child, they're so good. But there are certain times in life where they get caught up in this addiction. When that addiction of intercourse grabs the mind, then that husband of mine who was so good, suddenly he's just gone out with some other woman. Later on he will come and cry. I also am such a good wife. But when that message comes on the phone, I just can't control myself. I just want to answer to that other person. I know it's wrong. I know it's sin. I know my Allah is angry. I'm a Hafiza. I'm a Alima. But when that passion comes over the mind, it envelops my mind and my thoughts. I forget. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of darkness when it envelops the mind. At that time, I forget I'm a mother. I forget I'm a daughter. I forget I'm from a family of Iman and Islam. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from those times where suddenly that addiction, suddenly that impulse, that suddenly that crave and desire makes me forget everything. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ. And my pyramid is going more, I am pinpointing where the problem is. We live in an era what is called shaitani magic. The computer that you're living in is a magical created instrument. It moves with shaitani magic. There are people who have blown onto that thing before it was presented to the world. That cell phone that you have, that is why every word that they take out, they even put their link on it. They will call it an internet to show you, we want to grab you. They will call it a website. They will call it a cell phone, we will trap you in the thing. Whatever they call it, they will even give the name, we are pulling you into us. Every one of this, what we call new things of technology, which doctors will say each one got its sicknesses. You use this one here, it got radiation, it will harm the mind, it will harm the body. Itself, it got so much of shaitaniyat in it. That cell phone could be used for so much of good, but it is created with a blow of shaitanis. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. In every era and in today's era especially, when these things are made in labs, it is not any lab that it is made at. It is made in shaitani labs. Years and years of effort when it is made, but words also of shaitaniyat are said and blown on it. It has to have a shaitani effect in the world. It has to affect the mind of the child, the mind of the parent, the heart of the parent, the inside organs of the parent. It will not come without its side effects. It will harm your liver, it will harm your heart. More than that, it's supposed to harm your mind. It's supposed to harm your iman. Everything has come with a blow of some shaitani witches. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. Oh Allah, those witches as they are blowing, I seek your protection from all their blows. I'm still going to be using the phone. I'm still going to be using the products of technology. Oh Allah, let it not affect my organs of my body. Let it not affect my mind. Let me still see the world as I'm supposed to see it. Let it not affect my heart. It has been created to break all. It must put you in hospital. It must create cancer. It must create a mental deficiency. You must become weaker in mind and understanding. And then it must create irtidad in your mind and then in your heart. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of the witches as they are blowing into this world of technology. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And finally, right at the top of my pyramid is Mr. Iblis and his world of shayateen. He is the Al-Hasid, the real. When Adam a.s. was created, at that day his hasad started. He said, I will never make sajda to man, and I hate man and the entire progeny of man. Hatred for what? For the basis of I'm jealous. That why did you give them authority over me? وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. That Allah, when He unleashes His jealousy and anger and His hatred upon mankind, and He wants to pull everyone into His trap of destruction, oh Allah, I ask that You protect me and put me in Your shell of divine protection. Through this dua, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ is read after. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man who asked Almighty Lord plenty of times, Allah will never refuse. Every night he thought he would say it 3 times. And he explained in the hadith, and 3 is plenty. So you're not asking the dua 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. You live with this dua. You read the dua and you blow. So part of that saliva which touched قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, that day comes on your hand. With that hand it touches the outside. By you saying, oh Allah, with your surah, let my outside be protected, let my inside also be protected. I read it on the inside, I'm blowing on the outside, protect me completely. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. May Allah Tabarak Tala bless us that we come onto this level. On myself I read it. I read it on my children. Aisha radiallahu anha says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unconscious, she would read it. She would blow on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She felt, I won't use my own hand, I will use his hand. But we will use our own hand, blow on our hand, rub it on your child. How many years you can do it? Perhaps that is the greatest isti'adha. And in the end of the day, we are only men. We can only ask Allah for divine protection. We can't force it. But we can ask. If Allah allows someone to enter into that, then the world as it moves, and all the fitan of the time, but in the house of an Azar also, your child could become the Ibrahim of the era. If that divine protection is given. And the final point on which we will end the bayan is, that this is a world of imtihanat. In the world of imtihanat, all we can do is ask for divine protection. If Allah Tabarak Tala then has desired that for certain individuals there is no protection, for some there is no protection from kufr, so someone might fall into kufr. For some there is no protection for a while from fisk and evil, so a child might fall into some drugs, a child might fall into zina. The world is like that. So in that also, when that mother, that father is seeing that my child, what he has done, he's disgraced me in the entire world, I want to kick him out of the house. At that point also, Allah Tabarak Tala never leave us without divine direction. Allah Tabarak Tala in Quran gave us what an example, what a pillar of support. He mentioned the incident of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam and his sons. We all know Yusuf alayhi salam was one unique son of Yaqub alayhi salam. But what about the other sons? Yusuf alayhi salam had a dream when he was young, that I saw the sun, the moon, and I saw stars making sajda to me. 11 stars. He had 11 brothers. From the 11 brothers, one brother was good. 10 brothers gathered together in the plot to have Yusuf alayhi salam killed. Yaqub alayhi salam understood the evil in 10 sons. He never wanted to send his son with his other sons, meaning I don't trust you. He understood how jealous they are. The time came where they snatched Yusuf alayhi salam away from him. Yaqub alayhi salam for the next, not 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, for years and years and years, will have to continue looking at his sons every day in the eye, knowing that you're liars, you'll kill or you'll try to kill my son. But at that moment, Yaqub alayhi salam had one thing in his mind, that as long as I can keep them close to me, there's a chance one day they will become the stars which was seen in the dream. How many years of sabr he had to make? He could have also said, get out of my house. So that daughter who got involved in zina, while she was going to school and university, no father was worried about. He said, they're only friends. Suddenly she came home and she said, Daddy, I'm pregnant. Now suddenly my izzat, my honor, you disgraced me, get out. I don't want to see you ever. At that time, Yaqub alayhi salam left a message, be the Yaqub of the era. That when she was doing evil, you allowed it. Now when she's caught in the trap, a sahabi radiallahu anhu did an act of evil. Another sahabi radiallahu anhu said, Akhzahu Allah, may Allah disgrace him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not help shaitan against your brother now. He's already caught in the trap. Now you make dua that he gets pulled out of the trap. Whatever help a mother or father can give to the child who is caught in the trap. If it is difficult to keep the child in the house, at least one thing do, which has saved so many people when they needed that final help. A girl who wrote a story of falling as an addict to drugs. She was in the parda. She was a good girl. She was a master at school, getting top marks. And then one day it just happened, she met this addict. He just smiled at her. He must have just told her something and she fell in love with him. Everyone in the family told her, he's not right for you, he's a married man. But she was wild, because the first love of a girl is like her only love. The mother told her, are you crazy? She said, mommy, I'm marrying him. They went even more wild. How can you marry him? And then the other wife, the first wife, explaining to her that my husband is on drugs. He's not an addict, he's a dealer on drugs. And she will say, I don't believe you, you're just angry I'm marrying your husband. And like that she enters and she marries a dealer. She goes through a life of hell after that, which the world will not see. They don't know what that person in the trap is going through, they just think he's enjoying it. She would be bashed and beaten by her husband. And every time when she wants to run, he'll just give her another drug. Addicted to the drug, she can't pull out. And if she wants to pull out, there's no one who wants to see her. Everyone says, you failed me, don't you ever come back. But her waqiyah, she writes, the one thing that helped her was the day she was coming out of the house. Her mother was crying when she was marrying that man. But the mother came and said, oh my daughter, if ever you have to come back, my arms are open. She says, the day that he hit her to die, when she came conscious and she saw blood all over, and she never knew whether she'll live for the next 1 hour, on the phone, with that little airtime she had, she managed to dial her mother's number. Only because her mother had told her, the day you need me, I'm ready for you. That final straw when that person is looking for. There will be many children in today's era who will not start as a star. But if that parent keeps the door open, then, oh my child, go where you want to go now. We lost you, you lost us. But the day you want to come back, I'm still a parent. Forget your izzat and your honor. Forget how the world has seen you. When that child got no one to go to, the only person he can go to is back to his parent. It can be after years and years. There's one kitab we purchased recently, it's called Qisasun Abkatni. That those unique stories that made me cry. In that story, my brother narrated one story to me. He says, where that man says, when my father passed away, I was young. So my mother, the manner she looked after me was amazing. And how she took me and to spend time with me, how she paid for a servant in the house. That even the household chores I won't worry about, only to give you a father's love, because you got no father. She would go out with me also, she would take me out, she would do everything just so I could never say I had no father in my life. I was her only son. He says, then the time came for me to study. He says, but when she sent me to study, my outlook on life changed. Now it was only wealth, wealth, wealth. In that one, I forgot what my mother had done. So many years of khidmat went down one shot. My mother had chosen a girl for me to marry, of a girl of ilm and deen. But I looked at that girl and I said, she will spoil my world. There was another girl I had met already in school. She was fast. She was hot. She was my type. I understood with her I will be an aristocrat. I can live it up. I got friends. This other girl in Parda, she'll keep me away. In the ending, I told my mother I like that girl. My mother looked at her. I could see she was not happy. But even then, she said, my son for you. She came into the house. As soon as she came, he said, the fight started. My mother and my wife, my mother and my wife. Within a few days, I already started taking sides. Everything, my mother is wrong, my mother is wrong, my mother is wrong. But I could never remember how many years this woman was not there. At that time, my mother gave her life just to make me who she made me. He's writing this. Qisasun abkatni, stories that made me cry. And then he says, the time came that finally I came and my wife was crying and she said, you decide today, it's either me or your mother. I can't live with her anymore. And I went to my mother and said, you want to ruin my life? And the mother just looked at me and I said, please just go out. And she says, amazing, my mother just went out. She just went. She packed up and she was gone. He said, I went into a, what did I do? I even the next day went to go look where she went. And my wife pacified me. They don't worry. Your life is your life. He says, but as time went on and I got sicknesses and my business started collapsing. And my wife's expenses were too much for me to handle. A time came where I was not the rich man who I was. And finally me and my wife started having fights. And the day came where she said to me that because of your sickness and because you can't provide for me, I want the divorce. He says, that day it struck me where I started, where I ended. He said, I gave her the divorce. And when she left, I sat, and my mind went, where's my mother? At that time, a mother will say, now you come. He said, I went searching for my mother until I got the news in a certain old age home where people are living on the sadaqah of the Muslims. My mother is there. She never interfered in my life even a day because my wife had told her, you make sure you stay out. He says, in between, I learned later on, there was a time I was in hospital, my mother came, my wife told her, he does not want to see you, and mother went back. Even there, the mother really thought the son chased her from the hospital. He says, but when I walked into that room, my mother never even knew the whole story. Her first word was when she saw me was, Samahakallah, that, oh my son, may Allah forgive you. That is all. Then he ended the waqiyah. I took her out and I took her home. But I said, at least I thought at that time she would have said, now. And everything collapsed. But her mother is the one whose hands stay open till the ending. May Allah Tabarakallah bless us that we have progeny who are the stars of the era. Stars from the beginning and stars till the ending. In the era of Azr, may Allah Tabarakallah bless myself and my progeny, yourself and your progeny, that let our children be the Ibrahims of the era. But what it needs, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ from my side and your side. That, O Allah, I place myself and my progeny in your protection and their progeny as well. من الشيطان الرجيم from shaitan and this entire world. قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. Oh Allah, I'll read it. Oh Allah, I'll blow it. Oh Allah, I'll rub it. Oh Allah, I'll beg, allow me to enter into your protection. Then the night will mean nothing to me because you are the one that breaks through the night. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ One. Second, let my eye never ever fall on my family. That because of my tarbiyat, my doing, my ta'aleem, my this, my that, when that eye falls, divine protection can lift very fast. And number three, if an imtihan has been written, may Allah not take our imtihan through our children. But if an imtihan has been written for any family, then be the Yaqub of the era, alayhi salam. That one day I hope my child will become a star. Until that day my hands are open. Oh my child, when you need to come back, I am still your mother, I am still your father. Wa akhiru da'wana.